Lehi and his family, after wandering in the wilderness for 8 years, they came to a land they called Bountiful because it was a place of much fruit and wild honey. They came to a great sea, and they rejoiced unto the Lord because he had preserved them. After they had been in the land Bountiful for a space of many days, the Lord spoke to Nephi and said, "Arise and get thee unto the mountain." Nephi obeyed the Lord, and he went into the mountain and prayed. The Lord commanded Nephi, "Thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I shall show thee, that I may carry thy people across these waters." Then Nephi asked the Lord, "Whither shall I go that I may find ore to molten, that I may make tools to construct the ship after the manner which thou hast shown me?" The Lord instructed Nephi that he could find ore, where he could find ore. But then Nephi was on his own. In First Nephi chapter 17, we read, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make a bellows wherewith to blow the fire of the skins of beasts. And after I had made a bellows that I might have herewith to blow, I did smite two stones together that I may make fire. And it came to pass that I did make tools of the ore, which I did molten out of the rock." This is one of the most interesting stories we have in the Scriptures, because it tells of an instance where the Lord provided help, but then stepped aside to allow one of his sons to exercise his own initiative. I have sometimes wondered what would have happened if Nephi had asked the Lord for tools instead of a place to find the ore to make the tools. I doubt the Lord would have honored Nephi's request. You see, the Lord knew that Nephi could make the tools, and it is seldom the Lord will do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. The Lord does help when we go to him in times of need, especially when we are committed to his work and respond to his will. But the Lord only helps those who are willing to help themselves. He expects his children to be self-reliant to the degree that they can be. Brigham Young instructed the saints, "Instead of searching after what the Lord is going to do for us, let us inquire what we can do for ourselves. Independence and self-reliance are critical to our spiritual and temporal growth. Whenever we get into situations which threaten our self-reliance, we will find our freedoms threatened as well. If we increase our dependence on anything or anyone except the Lord, we will find an immediate decrease in our freedom to act." As President Heber J. Grant declared, "Nothing destroys the individuality of a man, a woman, or a child so much as failure to be self-reliant. Never before in my life has the doctrine of self-reliance been more needed to be preached and encouraged for the benefit of the saints. We live in a time of rapid change. Governments are rising and falling. Industries are blooming and then all too soon become obsolete. New discoveries in science are soon overshadowed by new findings. Unless we are continuously expanding our understanding and vision, we too will become out of date. Research tells us that individuals entering the labor market today will be forced to find 3 to 5 different careers paths during their productive lives. What must we do to become more self-reliant? My parents established a family tradition in our home, which was fun for me in the early years and has become even more meaningful as I reflect back on it as years have passed. On the first birthday of each child of the family, we would gather into the living room. In the center of the living room floor, our parents would place articles for the 1-year-old child to select. The selection to be made might indicate an interest the child would pursue in life. The articles were the Bible, a child's bottle filled with milk, a toy, and a savings bank filled with coins. The child was placed on one side of the room and the family on the other side. The family members would encourage the child to crawl towards the objects and make a selection. This was all in fun, of course. I was told that I selected the bank and went into finance as my profession. I watched my brother Ted select the scriptures. He pursued law as his chosen profession, and over the years has relied on the scriptures as his basis of judgment. My youngest brother Bob was the well-rounded member of the family. He crawled over, sat down on the Bible, put the bottle in his mouth, and then held the toy in one hand and the bank in the other. Now I propose to you that this entertaining family activity, we can find some of the most fundamental principles of self-reliance. First, the scriptures represent our need for spiritual nourishment. In the scriptures, the Lord reveals his will to his children. From the very beginning of time, he has instructed his prophets to record his commandments with them for the benefit of his children. The Holy Scriptures declare eternal values. They are the firm foundation on which we can build a successful mortal experience. We become more self-reliant when we study the Holy Scriptures, which teach the principles that provide a divine center to our lives here in mortality. We should be comforted with the fact that we have the best text which has ever been written or ever will be written as our guide. We could turn to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and learn about obedience. We can study the life of Job and learn integrity. King Benjamin's address in Mosiah 2 teaches industry. The life of Joseph, as contained in Genesis 39, tells us what we should do when our standard of morality is being tested. These are just a few examples of the lessons we can learn from the Holy Scriptures. They are lessons which have stood the test of time. Our challenge is to make them come alive in the hearts and minds of our families as we assume the responsibility to teach them. Second, the bottle filled with milk symbolizes the need of our physical bodies for nourishment. Our welfare services program has taught us by using the spokes of a wheel to define the essential ingredients or elements in self-reliance. The elements contained in the wheel are education, physical health, employment, home storage, resource management, and social, emotional, and spiritual strength. This summer, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit an 80-year-old man who certainly demonstrated each of these elements in his life. He was born in a small Idaho town and worked long hours on the farm to finance his education. He spent his professional life teaching English and Spanish in a small high school. To set aside funds for missions and the education of his large family, he grew strawberry and raspberry crops to be picked and sold to the local markets. This labor occupied his summers. Because these fruits were labor-intensive, few people had the ambition to grow them. They were much-wanted crops. The demand was always there for as many berries as he could produce. He was never satisfied with the productivity of his crops, so he studied new varieties in an attempt to find the best producers. In his backyard, literally, it was an experiment farm for testing the varieties of bushes which produced the sweetest and most abundant fruit for his particular climate. He studied yields that increased his productivity. The labor kept him in good physical health. The fields of berries furnished automatic employment for his children each summer. The berries delivered to the market could not only be exchanged for cash, but also for commodities to be used in their home storage. He managed his resources to build a beautiful home and supplied the needs for his family. This man loved to watch the Lord's system of multiplying and replenishing the earth, which gave him social, emotional, and spiritual strength. Now retired from active teaching, he continues to grow his berries, not for profit, but for satisfaction. 6 mornings each week during the berry harvest season, you will see him leading a parade of 10 to 12 cars out of the city towards his berry patch. Families come to add to their home storage by picking the berries. I ask him the price per case if we supplied our own labor. He answered, "I don't know. My pay is seeing the look on the people's faces as they leave the fields holding the fruits of their labors in their arms." I'm convinced there are thousands of ways for families to build self-reliance by working together in productive pursuits. Perhaps a good family home evening lesson could be on producing some ideas to help make our families more temporally self-sufficient. Third, the toy I mentioned earlier represents the acquisition of things of the world. We are bombarded today with powerful media to acquire now and pay later in what are purported to be painless monthly installments. We live in an impatient world where everyone wants everything now. The acquisition of worldly goods seems to foster an appetite for more rather than any kind of lasting satisfaction. Using our resources and worldly goods wisely and extending their life will help us become more self-reliant. I watched a young family move this summer, and I was intrigued by the labels on the boxes coming out of the storage room. They read, "Girls' clothing, 2 years old. Clothing, girls, 3 years old," and so on up. Clearly, this family had a well-conceived plan to maximize the usage of purchased items of clothing. We live in a world blessed with so much abundance. Let us be certain that our resources with which we are blessed are never wasted. Finally, the fourth item, the bank. It is a symbol of our financial well-being. I learned a great lesson early in my business career. My boss called me into his office. I could tell he had something on his mind. He said, "Give me a definition of interest." Of course, I reached back in my training and gave him a definition I had learned in a textbook. He said, no, that's not the one I want. You listen and remember this one. Them's that understands it earns it. Them's that don't pays it. Now, it doesn't take a genius to understand that before you can collect interest, you must first have some savings. Having a savings while continuing to increase one's standard of living requires one simple practice and then religiously applying it. After paying your tithing of 10% to the Lord, you pay yourself a predetermined amount directly into savings. That leaves you a balance of your income to budget for taxes, food, clothing, shelter, transportation, and etc. It is amazing to me that so many people work all their lives for the grocer, the landlord, the power company, the automobile salesman, and the bank, and yet think so little of their own efforts that they never pay themselves nothing. Be prudent, wise, and conservative in your investment programs. It is by consistently and regularly adding to your investments that you will build your emergency and retirement savings. This will add to your progress in becoming self-reliant. The principle of self-reliance is spiritual as well as temporal. It is not a doomsday program. It is something to be practiced each and every day of our lives. May we continue to hold fast to the eternal truths of self-reliance is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.